Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, Bimbo Jimbo James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well.
Excellent, excellent. We are going to be reviewing Lucha Underground episodes, the Circle of Life, or just Circle. Yeah, no. The Circle of Life, the most recent episode of Lucha Underground, and this was a little bit of a tough one for old Bimbo Jimbo. Some of the developments I did not appreciate. I felt that they were rushed. However, it also contained some highlight moments with Pentagon Dark, I felt like. So we'll get into it. But overall thoughts on this episode, Jeff?
I wasn't a huge fan. There were some things about this episode where I was just, I don't know, they made decisions that I would not have made.
Agreed.
Probably is the way to do it.
And they incorporated a lot of characters that we enjoy in this, and they got to use some of their powers, which we love, which we'll get. I guess let's just jump right into that. So we started off this episode with probably the longest vignette, I would say, in Lucha Underground history, correct?
Yeah. I can't imagine a vignette going longer than this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a 10 minute long vignette. It was featuring Katrina, Mil Muertes, and Melissa Santos to start off. Starts off with Katrina just dropping some really awful, rude truths to Mil that she never really loved him and that she's finished with him. She's been wasting her time with him. And now that she's alive again, she's dumping him. And she gives him the stone from the earthquake that took his life originally as a memento to remember her by. And we were talking off the air. I got to give Mil a lot of credit. Because he just was sort of there taking it all in with a stoic sort of maturity that I have not really come to expect from him. I expected maybe more of a growl, perhaps a throat grab, maybe flipping over some of those candles and everything like that. But you know, he took
perhaps
that
challenging her to a haunted house match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but no, he handled it with a plum, and I took the breakup much better than I would have. But that's how it started. And then Katrina is going to leave, and Melissa Santos shows up and asks. I was a little confused by this, perplexed by this, is that they're in like their secret little shrine area, and Melissa Santos just saunters in and is able to find them. I don't know. I found that a little peculiar.
Peculiar, yes, but anything to save this vignette from going any longer. I don't need them explaining how she tracked them down.
No, I get you on that. And so they immediately start fighting. And I know Katrina is mortal now and everything like that, so that's maybe why Melissa Santos was able to hold her own, if not have the better of Katrina in this. But I still didn't like that she was able to get so much the better of Katrina.
Also, immortal Katrina just beat the crap out of her like a week or two ago.
Yeah, beat the crap out of her, and yeah, I don't know. I was not the biggest fan of the equaling out of power levels, as hot as the fight was, which it certainly was. Whatever.
I'm sorry. It was a terrible fight. This vignette is horrendous. It's way too long. The acting is terrible. The fight choreography is not good. And also, I mean, I texted you while I was watching it. Can we just have a wrestling match?
If they're going to do
while
this.
While we're telling the story. And I understand, you know, maybe not wanting to have a Katrina-Melissa Santos wrestling match. But, I mean, they got to do something to explain the story. This is a wrestling show.
Yeah, I didn't have as much problem.
This isn't a telenovela, all right? I can watch better fictional programming on TV. With better stories than this and better acting and better production value. All right, this is a wrestling show, first and foremost. So I still need wrestling matches to basically demonstrate the fighting. Or otherwise, like, why do wrestling at all with some of these fights?
Yeah, that's a point well taken. I didn't have a problem with them fighting so much as it, you're right, it was sort of protracted and it was not great fight choreography. I completely agree with you on that. I just meant that they both
it's like watching
great.
Arrow.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a little better than Arrow, but But my issue is sort of like the what is the I don't know. I didn't like that Melissa was sort of just taking it to Katrina the whole time. But my main issue that is for as long as the vignette itself was, it's rushing the entire story. So fast forwarding through the fight, eventually Katrina ends up hanging from this ledge, and Melissa sort of with this internal struggle whether or not she's going to help her up or not or let her fall to her death. Mil Muerte says step aside, and he gives her back the stone and like lifts her off the ledge and then drops her to her supposed death. I am furious. And like watching at home the first time through, I am livid because knowing how this season has gone, so far, is that they're just killing off characters left and right. And I was like, this better not be the last that we see of Katrina. Now, by the end of the vignette, it's sort of saved it that I don't think this is the last that we're going to see of her. But I'm still not entirely ruling it out. And I did not think that this was, if this was the last we see of her, I don't think it was a fitting end to her and Mil Muertes' relationship. I don't think it's a fitting end to Katrina. I did sort of like the smirk that she knew like she was getting what was coming to her. But other than that, I didn't think that was the bow that they were going to put on their story together. It just from the Mil Muertes Katrina dynamic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Watching it, I didn't once think that that would be like the end of Katrina. I wasn't so much angry with that. I thought, I mean, I guess that was fine. I don't think they're really doing much with the Katrina character anyway. The only way they've demonstrated that she's alive is that she just wears different color clothes. I don't really understand what's happened with her, so I don't mind them killing her off. I just think it was kind of like a waste of time. And I mean, I'm sure she'll be back as her usual witch. I don't. What is she like? A banshee self, you know?
Bruja, yeah, some type of lich or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
But I just I see. I feel like Katrina has been one of the most important characters in Lucha Underground, and they rushed the stuff with the amulet. So basically, Aerostar then shows up over Katrina's corpse with the Melissa Santos saying, "I didn't do it," and he takes the amulet. He travels through time, so he sort of takes the power force from the amulet, travels through time, and then uses the amulet, which I love seeing Aerostar do his thing, So I thought that was totally cool and totally fine. But he uses the power of the amulet to resurrect Phoenix. Now he had half an amulet, so that better be half a Phoenix, and it better be. And I do think it is going to be a dark Phoenix. And as he brought Phoenix back into the present day, he said it's going to take him some time for him to be his normal self. And as he embraced Melissa Santos, we saw sort of like that swirling cloud in his eye, and the eye changed to ostensibly Katrina living within Phoenix now. What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, that's how I kind of took it, is that, I don't know, either Katrina's partly inside him or it's just sort of a Pet Sematary type Phoenix. You know, for a guy who resurrects all the time, I thought that was kind of weird. What I feel they're doing is we never really got that Dark Phoenix story in season one. It's just his outfit changed when he came back. And
Yeah.
now that they're doing more vignettes, I wonder if they're just sort of recycling that story and fleshing it out more of what maybe they even thought of back then. And then just weren't able to execute because there was too many other things going on.
Well, I think if he comes, I think the justification for him being a Dark Phoenix this time and not being himself is because Katrina stole all 1,000 of his lives. And so he was brought back sort of with given life force back from the power of the amulet, not from his own powers. So I think that is and could be the justification for why he's going to be changed. That, and also he's got a Katrina demon living inside of him. So hopefully he passes that, however he has to, and we get Katrina back in the temple, because I will be not amused if that is the last we see of Katrina in Lucha Underground. Not at all. And I need a more satisfying conclusion to her and Mil Muertes' story. This can't be the end of it. But it was a very long vignette that kicked it off. And I can tell you, Jeff, that next week we are going to get the Lucha Super Friends in a trios title match against the Reptile Tribe. And they teased it with Phoenix in a sort of a black looking outfit. So I think we're getting the Dark Phoenix like we predicted.
It's going to be kind of funny if he's the one who kind of screws things up for them in that match, where if you had given that to me on paper, you know, actually just a few weeks ago, would have told you it was Drago who's going to mess things up.
Watch Drago be, like, super unforgiving about it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Pendejo! No,
for somebody who's not going to play with the team.
Pendejo! He betrayed us! We should kill him! How could you not predict this in your little future vision, Aerostar? So sick of this. Yeah, just very angry Drago. I don't know, maybe we'll get Jake Strong to ruin it. I don't know, something with unfinished business.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah, he could ruin it. Perhaps he'll be Jake Snake. Jake the Snake, we haven't heard that in wrestling before. Do something with that.
Rhymes, it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. No one's ever done that. That takes us to the temple itself, where Jeff wants some wrestling, and we get not only Joey. Yes.
Oh no, I do want some wrestling.
Yes,
no,
you do. So we got Joey Wrestling making his debut in the vignettes last week as Johnny Mundo's best man for the wedding that was crashed with Malice Aforethought by Matanza. But he's going to be making his in-ring debut here for Lucha Underground, and Antonio Cueto shows up to sort of last-second promote the match, and it's going to be a sacrifice to the gods. So, Joey Wrestling, thanks for coming. One match in Lucha Underground. He did acquit
himself. Maybe this is the guy to turn it around.
He did acquit himself better than most. I will give him that. He did probably
the
best.
It was the best match I figured against Matanza so far. And I didn't know how I felt about that. I wonder if it was still too soon for me as far as the sacrifice matches not being... not necessarily. I didn't want him to get stomped out completely. But I don't know. There were too many times where it seemed like... Not that he could have won, but at least that he was really holding his own. I don't know.
I mean, it was less than 3 minutes. He lasted less than three minutes.
Yeah, geez, it seemed longer. No, I mean, I'm agreeing with you if it is. But it's just, I don't know. Maybe the way it just came off, it seemed like a closer match than I would have thought.
Yeah, it's sort of maybe similar to Aerostar and Jake Strong, that it seemed like Aerostar had the control and they just lost at the end.
Yeah.
But Joey Wrestling is, in fact, sacrificed to the gods, so thanks for coming. Johnny Mundo's best man has been murdered, so...
Oh, dude, Mundo's going to be pissed.
Yeah, so Mundo's got... So, oh, and we should mention that Mundo, who was scheduled to have a Lucha Underground Championship match in this episode, because of Matanza's attack and beatdown, not medically cleared to wrestle, so there will have to be a mystery replacement for him. So Mundo, with now unfinished business with Matanza... with ostensibly Ricky Mundo, and he's owed a Lucha Underground Championship match as well. So he's got a lot of irons in the fire, does Johnny Mundo.
Really?
So we'll see how each of those play out.
Isn't this underground street fighting, though? How can someone not be medically cleared?
Well, he was not...
I always look at this as being illegal.
Yeah, well, then he decided that medically he was not good to go, so he didn't want to put himself in there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So there it is. You know, I'm getting a lot of pullback from you.
Yeah, well, I really didn't like this episode, and I don't care much for this season. They're going to hear about it.
Good. I'm glad you're keeping it real. This season
you
has...
You've lost yourself a customer.
Not yet.
Not yet. I am reaching for my hat, though.
Well, you might want to reach a little quicker, because somebody else appeared in this episode that we were hopefully done with, because we're not huge
awful
fans of him yet. Big Bad
Never will be.
Big Bad Steve returns to the temple with the beautiful Brenda to take on Killshot. This was, and so the story of this match is that Son of Havoc is watching in the crowd with popcorn and stuff like that, playing off their storyline. I did not care for how much Big Bad Steve held his own with Killshot. We've been given nothing to sort of suggest that he could do that. And so I was, you know, it was such a back and forth match. I was like, no. Killshot should have won this by now. And Killshot did pick up the victory. But what did you think of what was going on?
Yeah, this match was perplexing for no other reason than Killshot is incredibly dangerous and kicking everybody's ass right now. I mean, he won a trios match essentially by himself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Big Bad Steve stinks and has stunk every time we've seen him. Big Bad Steve can never do anything in my eyes that's going to make him or make me a fan of his, because he did well in this match and I hated him for it.
Big bad stink.
Yeah, exactly. The most interesting thing to me was just how big a popcorn Son of Havoc had ordered for himself.
He's a small man. He got big popcorn.
And I would have been as furious as him when the popcorn was knocked on the ground. You know how much that would cost? That's like $20.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's absurd.
I did like the post-match angle that they did here with Killshot and Havoc brawling and Havoc ripping off Killshot's mask and Killshot sort of freaking out more so than any other luchador because of his, you know, mysterious identity and maybe not people wanting to know who he is.
Exactly.
And so he runs the back. I do feel like that they're going to be setting up a mask versus mask match at Ultima Lucha, and I'm into that. I'm down with that. You?
I don't really like mask versus mask matches.
It's part of Lucha culture, baby.
I know, but they always bother me. I mean, I'm looking forward to this feud, though, because I like both of these guys a lot, and I know they're really going to bring it. So I think it's going to be a great match. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like mask versus mask.
I will say, of the two people of who could afford to lose their mask and still be sort of more intact, it's Son of Havoc. You know, I mean, he's got sort of like the half mask on. And I mean, unless they just want to sort of end the Killshot character and sort of put an end to his storyline, then I guess you could have him lose his mask. But it is a dangerous proposition. I get what you're saying. I'm not the biggest fan of them either, just because it means that somebody that has this very sacred thing is going to not have it anymore. You know,
exactly.
And I mean, we watched that documentary and reviewed that documentary that it's like it can ruin your career. If you don't have your mask anymore and you can't sort of like reinvent yourself without it.
Yeah, that's rough.
So now this is a little bit different being this is Lucha Underground and not, you know, super traditional Lucha Libre per se.
Right.
So, but you are right. I mean, it does come with a lot to it. After that match, that did bring us to the main event with Pentagon cutting a promo saying that he wanted to give Johnny Mundo a wedding present, which was to break his arm and everything. And I got to say, tonight or this episode was one of my favorite Pentagon promos. I liked the promo leading up to who he was going to face, but I especially loved when Hernandez showed up to challenge him and was talking a big game. Pentagon just crapping all over Hernandez was hysterical, and just it was probably as babyface as Pentagon has ever seemed. To me, just like when he was like, screw you, cabron, get down to the ring. And he was like making fun of how he walked and everything. It was just, hey, Hernandez, it was awesome.
That's exactly what Hernandez deserved. So I was happy to see it.
Yeah, it was great. I did not expect to see Hernandez again in the temple. And so to see him challenge for Lucha Underground Championship was a surprise. The result was never in doubt. But I do think Hernandez could be a serviceable hand in Lucha Underground if they wanted to use him more consistently. I mean, he's a big, imposing dude. He's obviously a very talented wrestler, but, you know, I don't know what behind the scenes. I mean, there was rumors about some stuff with him maybe having a falling out. And that's why he didn't come back for, you know, other seasons and stuff like that. But that being said, he's back now. So if he's going to be back, you might as well use him in a more consistent manner. But what did you think?
No, I mean, I thought the match fit for what it was. And we were kind of hoping that there would, you know, be a couple of matches like this where it's sort of like a one spot deal. You know, Pentagon's not going to have a feud with him or anything like that. I liked Hernandez just fine for what he was in season one.
Yeah.
And he is... You're right. His look, you know, I mean, the guy's just big and imposing. I think that's why I liked him as much as I did in season one. But at the same time, I am glad that Pentagon just
dispatched him.
That was excellent.
Yeah,
that was a great way for him to return.
He got exactly like you said. He got exactly what he deserved, and it is the perfect sort of monster of the week kind of guy that Pentagon can face and just
absolutely. I mean, that's kind of what he was for Puma in season one, also when he turned on him.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it is like Pentagon Dark has been one of the bright spots of season four and everything like that, you know, with his title reign and everything. But Yeah, we don't need to see an extended Hernandez feud. However, after the match, Pentagon was going to break Hernandez's arm again, and boy, oh boy, King Cuerno shows up and attacks Pentagon with the Lucha Underground title, and then hits the Thrill of the Hunt right on the Aztec seal. What did you think about King Cuerno inserting himself now into the title picture with Pentagon?
I was thrilled because you and I are both such big fans of Cuerno. I would love to see a feud between these two. Especially because, I mean, I'm not saying that Pentagon's going to lose the title, but at least this is somebody that's making me question it.
Absolutely. It is the biggest threat to Pentagon's championship reign since the start of the season.
Yeah.
And we're at a point now where, yeah, it definitely... King Cuerno is easily an important enough character to take the Lucha Underground Championship off of Pentagon. It is interesting that just a month ago he was just a hired gun for Cage to take out Pentagon so that Cage could maybe get the Lucha Underground Championship.
Yeah, how weird is that?
And now, and sort of willingly left that match was like,
was part of the price was Cage would have given Cuerno a title shot.
That's true. It could be, and Cage didn't get the job done. So now
Cuerno's still getting the title shot, just he's aiming for someone else.
Yeah. So we will see. But, I mean, obviously, like you said, King Cuerno is one of our favorites. So it will be very interesting to see when they actually lock up in a Lucha Underground Championship match. But again, what we know for this coming episode is we are going to get a Trios Championship match, Phoenix, Drago, and Aerostar taking on the Reptile Tribe, and we will see how that plays out. But any other ending comments for this episode?
Keep your vignettes brief and your fights in the ring.
Words to live by. With that is going to do it for us this week here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm Bimbo Jimbo James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.